You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
There are those of us who function primarily out of our analytical mind. Others of us are governed by our intuition and are moved to act from our gut feelings. Is there some other force that can assist us in finding trustworthy guidance in our lives? When life's essence is changed, to what can we reliably turn to help us navigate its twists and turns? Our guest today, Ellen Tadd, has some practical advice for those seeking to approach life in a more balanced, spiritually informed manner. Ellen Tadd is an internationally known clairvoyant counselor and educator who has been teaching for more than 40 years. She's widely respected for the integrity of her work, the accuracy of her perceptions and guidance, and the clarity and usefulness of her teaching. Her work has been supported by the Edgar Cayce Foundation, the Marian Institute, Deepak Chopra, and the Institute of Noetic Sciences. She's lectured and taught at colleges, universities, hospitals, and community groups. She's the author of several books, including The Infinite View, a guidebook for life on Earth. Join us for the next hour as we explore tangible tools to help us better navigate the inevitable highs and lows life brings. With our guest, Ellen Tadd, I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Ellen, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you.
I am just delighted to have you here. And I'd love for you to begin to share with us some of your background. As I mentioned in the introduction, you're clairvoyant and you've been teaching for many years. So what is some of your background? How did you come to that?
Well, as a child, I had experiences. I saw faces in the dark. I had out-of-body experiences where I would be floating on the ceiling and I would see my body asleep on the bed. And these types of experiences actually confused me. I was raised by my father, who was a physicist. I grew up in a scientifically oriented household. I remember saying to my father, "Daddy, I can see molecules." And he took me to an electron microscope and showed me what molecules look like. And I got very anxious because then I knew I wasn't seeing molecules and I didn't understand what was happening to me. And I write in my book that I also grew up with a mother who had a severe case of MS. And so I watched her suffer and struggle, and I was always asking the question, why? Why is it that one person is sick and one person is well and one family's wealthy and another family's poor. And I was trying to understand a deeper meaning of life and really struggled with my sensitivity until I was a freshman in college. And that is when I had my watershed event, which was that my mother came back and talked to me after she died. And she had been in the spiritual world for 2 years. And the story actually is quite dramatic. I met my brother's girlfriend at the time, and she put out her hand. I was just 19. And she said, "Is there anyone who's dead who you'd like to speak to?" And I said, "Well, I don't know if I believe in life after death." And said, "But if I can, I'd like to speak with my mother." We went to her one-room apartment in the Village in New York, and she went into trance. And her cats jumped off the walls and ran into the bathroom. So I knew something was legitimate. And then I saw my mother's face superimposed over hers. And with great effort, my mother said, "Do not mourn for me. I chose what I endured to learn compassion for those who suffer." And she said, "No matter how things appear, if you look deeply, you will see there are always reasons and there is justice." That was a profound message. And after that, everything changed for me. It was like a veil was lifted. And the first sentence in my book is, I always say, my mother gave me birth and my mother gave me rebirth. Because after that, I could see that everyone was spirit temporarily on the earth. And we all had reasons for being here and lessons to learn. And very quickly after that, I started having lots of clairvoyant and clairaudient experiences. And, you know, I had to ask myself, how do I want to use this? Do I want to give messages from dead relatives? And I didn't. I came from an academic family, and pretty quickly I was interested in the deeper questions. What's the meaning of life? Who in the spiritual world is wiser than me, who can teach me? And so this is what I opened up to.
So I'd like to ask you, Ellen, I know that you share with us that you came in touch with what you call your guides.
Yes.
And I'm very interested in what that entailed. Do we all have guides, and how did you discover your guides?
I would say they came to me rather than I was looking for them. The first dramatic event was I was recovering from the flu, and at 3 a.m, I woke up, and there above me, floating, was an Asian man in etheric form. And, you know, we all know that our arms are not solid in, you know, junior high biology, or maybe kids learn earlier than that, that our arms are energy in motion. Our body is energy in motion. The table is energy in motion. Well, the etheric body is also energy in motion, but it's moving faster. So part of what clairvoyance is being able to see this faster moving energy. And so this beautiful Asian being appeared to me and communicated through thought. And this was the beginning of having a lot of visitations. And people talk about the fact that, you know, seeing visions or hearing voices is a sign of mental illness. I just think people don't understand it. But I can tell you that the beings who contacted me were full of light and full of wisdom. And because I'm a scientist's daughter, I approached this all not as the truth, but as an experiment. And I was very methodical. And it's been decades now, and their wisdom and their accuracy and their teachings have transformed my life and many of my students as well.
So, Ellen, your experience of your guides were very explicit. I mean, you say that you actually saw this energy in a kind of form. And for me, You know, I always hope that I have guides. You know, I hope that they're there, and I talk to them sometimes in a form of meditation or prayer, whatever you want to call it, some sort of communication or heart feeling in my heart of communicating. But I've never had that kind of assurance that you have. And I wonder if you could say something about that, because I think a lot of people are in my camp, so to speak.
Yes, yes. And I teach a lot of people how to have connection with their guides. And just as there's vision, which is external vision or internal vision, you know, the dramatic experiences at the beginning were external, which took away my skepticism. But internal vision is seeing images in one's mind's eye, which is perfectly legitimate. So my guides have said that the spiritual language is the language of subtlety, and that it's very common for the communication to be subtle. But we all have an impact, you know. I should say our guides do have an impact on our life. And one of my favorite stories about this is my father, who did scientific research. He told me when I was young, one of the things he'd do when he was starting a new project is he'd lie in bed, he'd listen to classical music. Now, the classical music inspired him, which opened his crown chakra. And this is a prerequisite for accessing guides, an open crown chakra. It's the bridge from the material to the spiritual dimension. And it's opened with inspiration. And so my father sort of stumbled on it, that if he would lie down, listen to classical music, then he was opened. And then he said thoughts were given to him. And he said, I know they're not mine. He said, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know if there's God or what it is, but I know they're given to me. And then he went to the library and researched them. So someone's in a shower, they think they're getting a good idea, and they should pay attention. Is it coming to them or coming from them?
When you say that, the word inspiration, that's the big one. And I know when you teach meditation, the beginning of meditation, you teach that the first thing to do is to get ourselves in a place of inspiration.
Exactly. Because the crown chakra and chakras, I'm wondering if your listening audience is familiar with chakras, but they're energy centers in the etheric body, and there's seven fundamental centers, and each one has a different purpose, just like each of our organs have the role they play in keeping our body functioning. The chakras have a role to play. So the crown chakra, or the golden halo in religious pictures, is the crown chakra. And this is the bridge from the material to the spiritual dimension. I call it the key to happiness chakra, because when it's opened, we feel glad to be alive. And when it's closed, that's what depression is. Depression is the aura in the crown chakra depresses versus being expanded. And that is the feeling of a dullness in living.
So are you saying, Ellen, that if it's closed, then we are living primarily just on the material plane, just on this one channel? We get all the news and it's challenging and can be very depressing. There are wars and famines and climate change and poverty and all sorts of things happening. And so if that chakra, or that part of ourselves, isn't open to another dimension, that I'll call it spiritual dimension, that is beyond the material, then our lives, as you say, might be depressed. And we're going to talk more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with clairvoyant and author and teacher Ellen Tadd, and she spells her last name T-A-D-D, Ellen Tadd. And she's the author of The Infinite View, A Guidebook for Life on Earth. And if you want to know about her work, you can go to her website, ellentadd.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Ellen Tadd. She spells her last name T-A-D-D. And she's the author of The Infinite View, a guidebook for life on Earth. And we've just been talking about the opening of that crown chakra, or being in touch with the spiritual realm, that being open or closed. If it's closed, it causes maybe depression. Can you say more about that, Ellen?
Well, I had mentioned that the crown chakra is the center that I call the key to happiness chakra. And so let's say someone is inspired by a piece of music or a beautiful sunset. Then what happens is the crown opens and there's the feeling of connectedness. Even if the person doesn't believe in spiritual dimensions, the openness of the crown chakra makes you feel connected to life all around you. What happens when the crown closes, often from discouragement or worry, then there's a feeling of isolation or feeling disconnected. And so opening the crown chakra is wonderful for quality of life, but it's also wonderful because it's the key to accessing the spiritual dimension. And I find that, you know, the big challenge with it is, what do we trust? Because little children are born with open crown chakras. They trust, and they trust so much they'll go home with a stranger. So it's dangerous without learning wisdom and discernment. And what happens, unfortunately, is a lot of people, as they age, start to feel, well, life isn't trustworthy because cruel things happen or they're not always treated fairly. So the important question to ask is, what can we trust? We can't trust that everyone will always be nice to us, but we can trust that we're here on the earth to learn how to actualize our best self in the midst of adversity.
No matter what that is, yes.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about inspiration, and I think of a story that you tell in your book that really illustrates a way for us to change channels, so to speak, if things are going badly for us in a day and we get kind of immersed in that, and how we can pull ourselves out of that. And you talk about being late for a meeting, and this was before cell phones, so you couldn't let your friends know, and then you have a flat
yes.
tire.
Oh, yes. Now I know which story you mean. I was driving, and I was on my way to meet friends for dinner, and unexpectedly, I got a flat tire, and I needed to change it. So I was on the side of the road changing my tire, and it was before cell phones, and I was going to be late. But I noticed that the sky was beautiful and that the sun was starting to set and the colors. And so the ability to hold the inspiration of the beauty of the sky helped me to appreciate that moment in the midst of the challenge of having to change the tire and being late. And so I like the idea of reaching out for inspiration, that in the moments that things are not going so well, we can look around, we can think about what inspires us, because that can help carry us in this feeling of expansion rather than getting caught in discouragement.
Right, exactly. So we've talked a bit about the crown chakra. I want to come down and talk about the third eye. And not everybody understands what the third eye, that's an Eastern term for the chakra that
yes, right in the middle of the forehead.
Pointing to her forehead.
Yes.
Now, I want to say something about that, because I think if we use another term for that, like our inner vision, maybe deeper wisdom. But I love correlating it with vision, because it's around our eyes, and our eyes are visual. They're looking, they're seeing. So this is seeing in with a great deal of depth. That's how I think of that particular energy center.
Well, I became interested in the chakras because I wanted to understand why people were so lopsided in their development. Some people are very astute in certain parts of their life and then very immature in others. I call them PhD kindergartners. And so I sometimes would get blindsided. And so I started watching chakras, and I didn't read books on the subject. If you Google chakras, I think there's over 500 books written about them. It's a huge topic. But I didn't read them. I just clairvoyantly watched people's energy centers for a couple of decades. I actually wrote a little book on it called The Wisdom of the Chakras about my conclusions. And one of the most important things I discovered is that where people focus impacts how they perceive. And how people perceive informs what they feel, and how they feel informs what they do. And so I started experimenting with my clients where I would have them focus in the gut, and I would talk them through a scenario. Then I'd have them focus out of the middle of their forehead and talk them through the same scenario. And the difference was astonishing. People would go from anxiety to calm. People would go from confusion to clarity. People would go from uncertainty to certainty.
Can you give an example of that?
Sure. There's so many. Well, I just gave a lecture last night, and I walked the audience through the solar plexus third eye exercise. And I had people focus on imagining that they're late for an important appointment. And in the solar plexus, pretty consistently, people felt anxious or they felt rushed. They felt stress. And when they moved to the middle of their forehead and looked at the same scenario, invariably people felt acceptance that in the scheme of life, this isn't such a big deal. They calmed down and they got there when they could. So the where they focused informed the quality of their experience. And my guides who really taught me this said, it's a pivot away. You pivot how you're focused and it changes how you perceive. I love to quote my son. When I taught him this exercise and he was in high school, he said, when you live life in the solar plexus, you experience the human condition from the human perspective and it's a tragedy. When you live your life focused out of the third eye or the middle of your forehead, you experience the human condition from a spiritual perspective. And it's very interesting. He didn't say it was easy. He said it was interesting.
Now, if you're functioning out of that place, it's not an avoidance of what's going on in the world. It's not that you can call it spiritual bypass. You're not bypassing anything by functioning there. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So what causes spiritual bypass is an opened crown chakra without the third eye. So the crown is the center of spirituality, but the third eye is all about integration. It's all about attention to detail from a spiritual vantage point. In sports, they call it the zone. And I've worked with high-performing athletes, helping them to develop their third eye focus, and their game gets better.
That's great. I love that. So it's you do attend to detail, but you're doing it from a larger place.
That's right.
Yeah, and with help also. I mean, there's another story I love that you tell, and it's, again, about your son. And you said he did an experiment. I think he was in high school at the time.
In graduate school,
actually. Oh, he was in graduate school where he functioned out of his third eye for a whole day?
Yes.
Okay, so can you describe his day?
Yes. You know, I just want to say, I thought I was going to be a child psychologist before I had a spiritual awakening. And so as I started having these multidimensional experiences, I still was always seeing how it applied to my children. So their stories are woven through my book. So my son was in graduate school in Boston. And, you know, he knows his mom's philosophy. And so he's always testing it to see what he thinks, because he's an independent thinker, which is a good thing. And so he decided, he didn't tell me this till after the fact, but he decided he was going to practice staying focused out of his forehead all day. My guides say, when you open two eyes, open three. So it's a posture. You focus out of the middle of your forehead and you look out of your eyes. So he was walking and he was focused in his third eye. And from his third eye, had a strong impulse to get on the bus. And so at the next stop, he got on the bus. And he rode the bus looking out of his third eye. And when he got to the Boston Public Library, he was compelled from his third eye to get off the bus. So he got off the bus and then he walked up the stairs. And at the top of the stairs was an older Chinese gentleman. And my son is fluent in Mandarin. And so he started talking to this man. And it ended up that this man was a fairly well-known calligrapher, had lost his translator, felt a kind of, I think afraid in Boston without his translator. So my son ended up becoming his translator for his calligraphy classes. And that was a fun experience for my son, and it really helped this man out. And I loved the story because when we learn to live life looking through our forehead, we start attuning with something deeper than our conscious mind of what we want. And we get guided in the most remarkable ways. And so I love that story.
I love that story, too. And that's so connected to a story for you about how your son even got to learn Mandarin. And that was when your guides, when you went into your forehead, your guides, and got information about what school for your son to go to in high school. Do you remember that?
Yes, we were trying to figure out what college he was going to go to. He was in high school. And so we'd been, we live in the Northeast and we were driving around to all these different schools and I was tired. And I finally said to my guide, "Hey, just tell me, where's he going to go, will you?" And I heard a direct voice that said that my son would go to the very same college my next client attended. And of course, I wouldn't have made that up. That was definitely a guided message. So my client walked in with her friend and I said, "So hi, Mary, where'd you go to college?" And she later told me that was an odd greeting. But her friend, she told me where she went to college. It was one of the schools on my son's list. And her friend said, "Oh, she knows the dean of admissions. She'll she'll talk to the dean about your son."
So we'll talk more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Ellen Tadd. She's the author of The Infinite View, A Guidebook for Life on Earth. And if you want to know more about her information, you can go to her website, ellentadd.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions